Hey everyone, this is Anthony Fleming, Senior Pastor of Church Alive, praying that this message is fresh, real, and powerful in your mind, your heart, your family, every part of your life. If you enjoy these messages, subscribe to it, share it with a friend to build their faith. God bless you as you lean in to the power and presence of God's Word.
That's very humbling. We all do our part, hey? And to be honest, honestly, this has been the relationship that we share here has been one of the richest relationships that we've had over nearly 40 years of ministry. Yes, I am officially old and I feel great, but yeah, so thank you, Mags. I just hear and feel the heart. That's heartfelt, and I've got to say, the feeling is definitely mutual. You know, when I think about Pastor Anthony and Miriam, and I think we first met maybe a decade ago, something like that, and the faith step that they took the church had been well and truly established, a church of maybe 300 or something like that, folks on a Sunday, and they just have continued to grow. Honestly, if some of you, fun fact, Pastor Anthony was a champion tennis player, college tennis player, and so has always been, in a sense, an elite person, but he's a formidable man, and Miriam's a formidable woman of God. For those that have been around, you know this. It's superfluous to say, but if you're brand new, you're in safe hands here. This is a healthy church. I get a bit of perspective on this. I think the last 12 or 13 days I've been in 8 or 9 cities. Been in Indonesia, been back in Australia, a couple of cities there, and Tokyo and LA and Salt Lake City and Northern California. And now here. So I do have a bit of perspective, and I want you to know I rate your pastors as among some of the finest that I get to have a relationship anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. You know, it's those faith steps that they made. You know, really it started, though, the church officially about 16 years ago. Could you give me a G? I'd like to sing a little song right now. As if I'm going to do that. He's like, oh, okay. Oh. Awkward. It would have been. But they actually started 18 years ago in a small group. And that was the genesis of Everything Church Alive. And to think about that, what's happened since that faith step 18 years ago? You probably wouldn't have been in the ministry. Certainly wouldn't have met your beautiful wife. And I got to say, I reckon you're the Ben Platt of Christian worship. You're my favorite worship leader anywhere in the world. I love your heart for God, your rawness. Pastor Katie, you know, she's become a bit like family. Elise, our youngest daughter, and her have become good friends. And you see the impact of steps of obedience. I'm a bit of a Bible numbers geek. I'll keep you standing just for another 45 minutes and then I'll let you sit down. But the number 18, right? 18. So I was musing on that very recently. And the number 18 in Hebrew comes from two you know, they're like pictogram kind of things, the way that the words are communicated or written down, and one means the hand of God, and the other one means Chaim. If you've ever seen Fiddler on the Roof, it's L'chaim. It's like it's a to life. It's a toast, and so there's a power in that. But it also, the word, the number 18, and a lot of commentators, they take, I think they mess this up a little bit, to be really honest, if I can say this humbly. But in Judges 3, verse 14, and Judges 10, verse 8, it speaks of two occasions where the nation of Israel were in bondage, one to the Philistines and the other one to the Amalekites, I think, or the Moabites. And then there was a lady in Luke 13, and she was bent over. She had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and all she saw was the dust. And a lot of commentators go, well, 18 means bondage. So I'm not going to prophesy that over you this morning, just in case you're wondering. But I thought about that. I said, that is a really bad interpretation. The fact that we even know there was a number says that on the 18th year, the children of Israel were set free. On the 18th year, this poor lady was released. And as I was praying about that, woke up this morning, like not this morning, in the middle of the night, and I looked at my clock, it was 1:18. I literally took a photo of my phone. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit has been percolating this, and I want to declare it over you before we pray. I actually believe this season we're coming into, Church Alive, is going to be a season of extreme breakthrough and extreme freedom in Jesus' name. That there are things, and honestly, we've all got them, I've got them, you've got them. There are things that aren't yet whole. If you are completely whole, could you just fly around the room? We'll give you a standing ovation. God is wanting to take those things that are gnarly. You're looking at me like deer in the headlight here. You know what I'm talking about. You say, which things? You know exactly what I mean. That thing, those things. And I believe this season, at the end of the service, just in about 3 hours, I'm going to pray a prayer of freedom over you. And I'm not just doing it out, well, you know, free. I've got this thing in my gut that I believe is a prophetic thing that's going to literally see some things that have been plaguing you in some cases for decades. And God is going to start to catalyze. Some of you, there are some people here today, and again, I'm just speaking as I feel the Holy Spirit, not weird, just to feel the Holy Spirit of my heart. There's some of you have been putting up with even physical things that the Holy Spirit is wanting to set you free from today. Others, emotional things. Others, you've been walking on the edge of some things that you know are not going to help you long term. So I'm going to pray right now. We're going to get into the Word, but I want you just meant to know where we're going with this. I'm going to do two things at the end of the service. I'm going to pray for everyone in the house who says, you know what, Michael, I've been bumping along the bottom spiritually. I've been poking a stick at this thing. And yet I know in my heart that there's a God in heaven. And I just need to know Him personally, like we sang in that song. So I'm going to pray a prayer with you at the end. But I'm going to pray a prayer for that. I'm going to pray a prayer over you to really launch some things prophetically in the area of freedom and breakthrough. Is that okay? Yeah. Nothing up my sleeve. I just want you to know where we're going with this. Is that okay? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Right now, we lean into what you want to say. And Lord, we grab a hold of that thought that this is a season of extreme freedom and extreme breakthrough. Father, we give you the praise and the glory for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, be seated. Excuse me. Thank you.
Church Alive Supper Band, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at ya. Proverbs 14, verse 12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There is a way that seems right to a man. I don't know whether you've ever really wondered. Anyone here, like this is not in a weird way, a people watcher? People watcher, you have a coffee, and you know they do it a lot in Europe. Where in France, the tables and chairs face out, sort of like coffee. Just we're a weird bunch, humanoids. We are. We're weird. We've got our funny little ways. The older I get, the more I think, more funny I think I become in terms of weird. You know, I was watching. We took the kids and the grandkids to Bali. I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And I don't normally do breakfast, right? But there's this buffet breakfast, and Magna, I buffeted my body big time, you know. But at one stage I was just observing they had a pancake station there, and I was just watching, okay, just watching, looking at the pancake station. Might have just, you know, had a little bit of one or two, or six, ten, 25. But I was watching, this is the different people, right? You get some people and they'll pour like what seemed like gallons of maple syrup over their pancakes. Any maple syrup fans in the house? Well, you've got to accidentally spill it on your bacon. Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. Salt and sweet. Oh, yeah. You try it. You're about to have your life changed. And so, and there are some people carefully, like, do a little squiggle, put a few little sprinkles on top, you know. We're a weird bunch. There are some couples in here, and one of you likes it that the air conditioning really cold at night, and the other, I don't want to start World War III here or anything like that, but some of you like the duvet on, some the duvet off. Anyone here who's got a duvet thief at night, who rolls over and I'm just saying theoretically I would never, you know, anyway, we're weird, we have our funny ways, but the Bible here says there is a way that seems right to a man, but it actually ends in death. You know, when I say that and understanding the power of Transform, one of the ministries that's launched at the church here. And if you haven't got into a Transform group yet, I think they start sort of mid-September. It is so powerful. You lock and load with a crew for about 10 weeks, something like that. And I can almost promise you, if you go there with an open heart, God is going to radically transform your world. Any friends in that? That was an underwhelming response, yeah? You understand what I'm saying? And so there's a way that seems right. And you see radical stories. Pastor Anthony and Miriam have wives come up to them, tears in their eyes saying, "What have you done to my husband?" In a good way. In a good way. And any husbands who are like that, who know that you've seen absolute transformation in your life. Any wives, and you've seen that in your husbands. So obviously a lot more of you need to be at Transform. So I'm not so much talking about there is a way. I've got that's one of those stories. I'm a first generation believer. I came up, brought up in a Roman Catholic background. I'm not one to diss the church or anything like that. But I had a sense that I was never quite right. And I had a wild season I was sexually abused by a male at 14. Not a priest, but one of the guys that hung around the local parish. And rather than tell anyone, I decided to prove my heterosexuality by getting involved in as many promiscuous relationships as I possibly could. Ended up with a teenage pregnancy and hurt a stack of people in the process. I'm not proud of that one little bit. I was one night driving drunk a friend's car and was going way too fast. And I was fortunately the only one in the car, and I flipped it on its roof. It was a VW. It smashed that thing, and I got out with a little scratch on my back. So I don't want to talk about that was self-destructive behavior, and that was but I still did it. I want to talk about way more subtly than that. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul is speaking here, and he says, I'm fearful, Corinthians, that somehow, lest the serpent who deceived Eve by his craftiness, that word craftiness literally means subtlety, that you too may be distracted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So the power of the enemy is in the subtlety of his lies. Every bondage, everything that holds your soul tight is the result of a lie. In fact, in Romans chapter 1:25, it says that they exchanged the truth of the magnificent God for a lie. Like, think about this. The magnificent God of creation, who flung the stars into space, created everything for our blessing, holds eternity in the palm of his hands, and he says, hey, just a thought, do this. And you've got the puny enemy who's the father of lies. You know he's lying when his lips are moving. And he says, do this. Do this.
Do this.
And we go, oh, okay. What is that? It's the subtlety that actually, you know, when Nehemiah was building the wall, which is a type of us in a sense, it was the security of a city back then. When we talk about rebuilding a wall, we rebuild the walls of our soul to protect our soul from the onslaughts of the enemy. While he was doing that, there was an enemy that actually were calling out to the workers on the wall to discourage them, and the enemy of another nationality was actually speaking in Hebrew. You say, huh? What's that about? The enemy uses the tone and the language and the accent that you understand. In fact, often that mealy mouth, sleazy little voice actually sounds a lot like you. And he'll lie about the promise of God. He'll lie about there is a way that seems right to a man, but it's actually not. Religion's like that. I'm kind of a good person. I'm okay. I don't kill anyone. I haven't robbed any banks, not lately anyway. Haven't done drugs for months, and I'm okay. And I try to do my best. And I even give to poor people sometimes. That's a lie. Because the truth is, no matter how good you are, how good I am, we will never even be a patch on the magnificence and the purity of God. And that's why we need a Savior. His name is Jesus. And it says in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is a way that seems right to a man, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Jesus in the context was talking about eternity. He's talking about the fact that we all walk through life with our noses pressed up against a very thin membrane called forever. One tear in that membrane, and we are catapulted forever to be with or without Jesus. That's truth. That's truth. But the devil will actually try and undermine that truth of God's word, even in terms of our eternity. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, it says the devil was more cunning, more subtle than any other beast of the field, the snake, the serpent. And he asked this question, and he's still asking the same question today. Did God really say? Did God really promise you that you'll have a great marriage? Oh, you're probably going to have to put up with the one you got. Now, I'm suggesting you stay in the one you got, but I'm suggesting that the lie is, well, you're always just going to be bumping along the bottom. The lie of the enemy is, this is as good as it gets. You come to church, you try and do the best you can. You even went to one of those small groups because they incessantly talk about it over and over and over again. No! You see, it's not just about coming to church. It's about becoming the church. So look at me, look at me. The Lord Jesus has planted seeds of incredible greatness in you. This is not just a hypey, positive, motivational talk. It's right smack bang in the center of God's word. And so often we believe the lie that says, well, I'll come to church better than not. And the Holy Spirit is wanting me to, I feel a real stirring in my heart right now. There are some of you that are called to amazing things and you're living way below your potential in God. I don't say that as a heavy burden, but it's a truth. You're getting by. Some of you are engaged in things subtly that you've justified and so forth. And again, God is an incredible giving, forgiving, gracious, merciful God. Jesus paid the price. So at the end of the service, I'm going to pray for everyone here that says, Michael, I need Jesus. I'm not some guy that was brought up in a church Christian family that has always walked with God. I was wild, man. And I had an encounter with Jesus. So I'm not someone here that's come from across the sea that's pointing the finger and say, yeah, you've got to get your life right with God. We're all on a journey. But I know that there's a powerful future for you. You are not stuck with your lot in life. Economically, relationally, spiritually, ministry-wise, destiny-wise. God is at work, even as I'm speaking. And I believe that you today, step number one, many of you are going to turn back. Frankly, you're going to repent. You say, oh, that's a bit hard. No, no, repent. It means turn around. You're going the wrong way. There is a way that seems right. But I want to wake up. We had teenagers, they're kidults now, they're in their 30s. But when they were teenagers, I don't know any parent can relate to this, we had somewhat of a struggle getting a couple of them out of bed in the morning. And so we had tried various sorts of alarm clocks. I picked up this alarm clock in Singapore. And rather than go, it actually literally would go, wake up! Wake up! It did everything but grab them by the throat and put it way on the other side of the room. So they're sleeping and, you know, I don't know what time it was. Wake up! And so this morning, with all the love and compassion that I can possibly muster, Church of Jesus Christ, man or woman of God, I want to say to you, wake up! God is on the move. It's not a time to be sleeping. It's not a time to be going through the motions. If we go way back to that question that the enemy asked, he said, did God really say? Now, God follows it up in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 3 with two other questions. Adam, they've messed up, right? Adam and Eve have messed up. They've disobeyed God. They believed the slimy lies of a serpent who was the embodiment of the enemy and have basically trashed everything. And God then comes. He's looking in the garden. He knows where they are. But he asks a question. He says, where are you? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? They're accustomed to walking and just having this beautiful relationship, this intimate relationship, like the song words were, like to know him, to really know him. To really know him. Some of you know him. You're Christians. You kind of know him. You prayed a prayer. No, no, no. I'm talking about you can really know him. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not even necessarily talking about you coming to this church. I'm talking about you getting your soul really connected and aligned with God's purpose. God's asking that same question for you today. Hey, hey, where are you? Hey, up the back, where are you? Hey, online, where are you? You say, I'm just getting my pancakes and putting a lot of maple syrup on the couch. He says, where are you? He knows where you are. He just wants you to admit it. And there's no wrong answer. Lord, I'm fluffing right now. I'm poking a stick at this thing. I'm undervaluing the gem of a life that you've given me. I'm undervaluing the fact that this is a short life relative to all of eternity. That's where I am. And he says, okay. Once you admit where you're at, the biggest lie is not admitting where you're at right now. La, 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 I'm okay. I'm all right. Yep, now I'm a good person. I'm okay. I come to church. Used to do it every week, every now and again, when there's no barbecues on in summer. Weather's nice outside after all that rain. Where are you? And then Adam fesses up and says, here we are, I'm naked and I'm ashamed. So we covered ourselves up. And then God said this, he said, who told you you were naked? Who told you? In other words, have you been listening to that scuzzball, the enemy, again? Have you been listening to that slime character who's only got your worst interests at heart? And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Now, that context there, he's talking about mansions or dwelling places in heaven. Clearly, it's about eternity. But he also says, no one comes to the Father. You don't have to wait till you die and go to heaven to come to the Father. Because of what Jesus did, you've got open access to the Father any moment you choose. And so you can walk boldly into the throne of God. You can have you can know him. Yeah, yes, you can really know him. You can really know him. As I just pause for a minute, we're getting to that bit in a minute. I'm going to pray for everyone here. And you say, Michael, I kind of know him, but I don't really know him. I'm better than I used to be. Man, some of the crew I used to knock about with, and at least I'm in church. Yes, you are, and we're so glad you're here. But it's not about coming to church. You've got such a touch on your life. When God created you, you know, the original man was the dust of the earth. And I can imagine God getting so excited, you know, when you were being formed in your mother's womb. I think God was giddy with potential. It's like, oh my gosh, there's John. Oh, I see the horizon of the potential. And the enemy says, did God really say? It's okay to walk that line. It's okay to withhold. It's okay to be bound up on the inside. Why is it sometimes when we talk about faith and religion, we feel knotted up? That's bondage. That's bondage. And God wants to break through in that regard. The enemy said, did God really say? Did God really say that Jesus is the only way to... Did God really say that? I mean, what about the other religions? I know this really nice person and they're really lovely. How can God, you know what I'm saying? The sentiment takes over from spiritual truth. Where are you? Where are you, young person? Where are you, person in my era, 50s and 60s? Where are you, married couple? Where are you, single again person here who's felt the shame of breakdown and you felt the gnawing loneliness of your soul? Where are you? He says, who told you that was your lot in life? Who told you you're exposed? Come on, friend. Today's your day. Today is your day. Even as I'm saying it, your God will never let you down. He'll never make you do anything. And that's where choice comes in. Today, I believe that as I throw down the gauntlet of challenge, many of you are going to make a good choice from the front to the back on either side. Here's what we're going to do. I see around, there's numbers of people with tears. God is moving on your heart. I'm going to count to three. And when I hit three, everyone that says, Michael, you're talking to me, I need to get my life right with Jesus. Either for the very first time, maybe someone's brought you here and they love this family. And it really is a family. Look at it. You're just so beautifully diverse from so many parts of the world. Little slice of heaven, actually. I don't know why I said it like that. Or some of you say, look, I've prayed this before. And I just sense that, well, what's going to be different now? In fact, I've prayed it like, did God really say? God woke me up 1:15, 1:18 in the morning. I prayed over you. I prayed over this word. It took me a while to get back to sleep, so thanks a flipping lot. For this moment. So I'd like you to close your eyes right across the house, front to the back. When I hit three, everyone that says, Michael, you're speaking to me right now, I want you to pray for me. One, Jesus Christ died that you and I might have life. He actually took our sin on that cross that we might be totally free, so we'd have open access to the Father. Two, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. We've only got now. Past is gone. Future's not here. We've only got today. And when He speaks, when He whispers, when he nudges you on the inside, and you know what I'm talking about, you can either respond or you can diss Him. You can harden your heart to Him. That's your choice. My recommendation would be that you do the former, not the latter. With every eye closed and every head bowed right across the house, you know God's speaking to you. If you know you need to get your life right with Christ, I want you to confidently and boldly lift your hand right up in the air. Three, right now, all over the house. Many hands. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, God bless you. God bless you, lovely lady in there. Good on you, sir. Many men. Yep, 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 yep. Yes, 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 yes. God bless you, sweetie. You're over there. Yep, yep, yep. Beautiful. If you haven't raised your hand, but you want to, lift it up. I'll just take a moment more. I just sense there's some others. God bless you, sweetie. Yeah, man. Awesome. That God's speaking to. Just a moment longer. You say, Michael, it's like this fight. God bless you, buddy. Yep. Like this fight going on. Absolutely. This is your eternity. You say, this is it? Absolutely. You make a decision and then you walk it out. God bless you. I'm so glad we waited right at the back there. Beautiful. Church Alive, can we just give those people, not a little golf clap, let's give them a cheer of congratulations, making a really good decision. Come on! Yeah, 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 yeah! Okay, we're going to pray. Now, everyone that raised your hand, I don't know, lots of you, everyone that raised your hand, you're going to pray, but we're all going to pray. And none of this little mealy mouth. We're going to pray boldly with faith on your behalf. I want you to pray. Don't pray to me. I can't help you. But I tell you what, Jesus can. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, come on. Dear Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. I acknowledge my need for you. Thank you for taking my sin on that cross so that I could be totally forgiven. To really know you, I declare right now, you are my Savior. You said you're the way. You said you're the truth. You said you're the life. And I choose to believe you at your word. With the help of your Holy Spirit, I want to live every day to please you. In Jesus' name, come on, amen and amen. One more time. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Come on, you can stand. Let's celebrate. As I was praying for you, I actually prayed a prayer called the High Priestly Prayer in, I think it's Numbers 6. And here's what it says. And I prayed it, this is weird, I know, I'm weird. I prayed it 18 times. at 1:18 in the morning, because I figured there's probably at least 18 people here that need to hear this prayer. And here's the prayer. They used to pray it all the time back in Israel, in the progenesis of Christianity. You know, Christianity didn't come out of Australia. I know. It's not even American, not even British. It came right out of the heart of the Middle East. And here's the prayer they prayed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord put his favor on you and give you peace. That word peace is the word you would have heard some Jewish folk, shalom, which is not just peace as in the absence of strife, but it's this holistic blessing and prosperity and harmony in every part of your life. I just suspect there's some people that need to have that prayer prayed over them, and I'll do that. I also believe maybe there's 18 or more people that you're going to make a decision to say, I'm not just going to be a Sunday kind of saint. I'm going to engage in relationship. I'm going to get into some of these small groups. I'm not going to be a freeloader anymore. I'm going to decide to step up and serve. Maybe there's 18 people that want to do that. Maybe there's 18 people that say, you know, I haven't given really a zack. I occasionally put 10 bucks in the offering, but I'm not really a contributor. I'm not really putting God first with my generosity, and I'm going to start to do that. There might be some of you that haven't actually talked to God for a while, that this has grown a bit of dust on the sideboard. Time to pick it up again, huh? You're entering a season of extreme freedom and breakthrough. And I don't need to be a prophet to know that for every one of us, that means something. What is that thing? You say, what do you mean? You know. If you say, Michael, I want to receive that prayer you're praying. And like I said, I'm not doing it lightly. I'm not like, it's like the full stop on the end of the sermon. I got faith in my heart. I want to prophesy this over you. And I believe that just as God's word goes forth, and it's not me, but I'm going to pray his word over you of breakthrough. And the Bible says, whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. It says, they that know the truth will set you free. So if you can relate to that, like not just generally, like, yeah, I have a bit of freedom. Love a bit of freedom. But you know specifically there's something. Just stick your right hand in the air. There's something. There's something. You know what it is. There's something. There's something. There's something. There's something. In the name of the Father who loves us, in the name of the Son who died for us, and in the name of the Holy Spirit who's our constant companion, I declare the launch of a season of extreme freedom and breakthrough over your life. I pray for the subtle things, the unseen things, those little lies that you believed that were not from God. And I restore right now the image that God created you to be. I restore right now the identity, the affirmation, knowing that heaven is smiling over your life. I restore right now dreams that have died. I restore right now companionship that you thought was long gone. I restore right now marriages in the name of Jesus. I pray for that business career. That after several failures, you think, well, that's it. I haven't got it. I restore that in Jesus' name. I restore that self-sabotaged financial system in your life in the name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, relying totally on your word, all the praise and all the glory for this season of extreme breakthrough and extreme freedom. We declare it right now in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on. Shout unto God.
with the voice of triumph and breakthrough. In Jesus' name, God bless you.